What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we're talking about how much should a couple share with their parents while dating? Ooh la la, what a great topic. How much should a dating couple talk about their relationship to their parents? And then you as parents who are listening to this, how much are you expecting your child to talk to you about the dating relationship? Or maybe where are you saying, hey, sweetie, I love you. Hey, bro, I love you, but you really need to talk to someone else about this stuff. So that is the purpose of today's episode. Before we jump into the meat of it, I wanted to let you know that Lies My Therapist Told Me has sold over 7,000 copies in 5 months. What? 7,113 copies to be exact. And it is primarily in hardback, but there's the Kindle, there's the audiobook. I mean, it's quite amazing. So I'm very thankful. I've had some big interviews, podcasts, things that have dropped here lately about the book. If you haven't had a second to review it on Amazon, that helps other people find it. So a lot of times we'll get it through a different platform. But I would super appreciate if you could throw up a review onto Amazon, and that helps the book get into the hands of those that need it. We launched Life Without the Numb as well, which is a series through Fortis. And so there's kind of a video series, the book, a curriculum that goes with that, and it can become its own thing. So if you need help getting bulk purchases, just let me know. I can connect you with HarperCollins. And we just want to make sure that people are being set free by the truth of God's word, and it's growing. It's beautiful to watch. I also just got back from North Creek Church up in Walnut Creek, California. It's amazing to see what God is doing up there. You will see on my social media, we did a couple of podcasts while I was there afterward with Pastor Kent. So make sure that you take a listen to afterward as well. And if you're not familiar with North Creek Church and you're in the Walnut Creek area, you got to go, like 10 out of 10. This is an awesome church doing biblical counseling training in the Bay Area of California. So beautiful thing. So now to today's topic. When you're dating, how should you communicate with your parents? And as a parent, how should you understand communication with your, I think like your, if we're talking about early dating, it's like your high school, your teenagers, college students, into your 20s. And I would imagine most of today's episode would apply to like mid to late 20s. And that does include some that are out of the house, living independently, but they're still very connected to mom and dad. So all the way up to that point. I mean, if you're 30, 35, you're on your own, you've been an adult for 10 years on your own, some of these principles won't feel as relevant, or it's probably not even a question that you're asking in all fairness. So it's like, how much do I communicate with my parents when I'm in these early seasons, all the way up to like my mid-20s, 27, 28, where I'm wondering, how do I talk to them about what's going on in our relationship, or do I talk to them at all? So I want to remind you that there are principles that inform godly communication. And in biblical counseling, I've actually done a series on these in past episodes. So it has been a while. You'll have to do a little bit of searching. But principles of godly communication would be that you're honest, that you're keeping current. Ephesians 4:26, honesty is the foundation of godly communication. Ephesians 4:15 and 25, falsehood is to be put off. You're keeping current, you're settling issues today, you're not letting the sun go down on your anger, you're not building up resentment, so communication is regular. You're attacking the problem, not the person. Ephesians 4:29, you're not letting this deviate to character assassination. You're not being overly generic in the way that you speak about issues. You know, you always do this, you never do this. And then the last principle that we try to remind individuals of is that you are proactive, not reactive. In Ephesians 4:31-32, what you see is that you're to put off bitterness, resentment, and all these things and put on tenderheartedness, kindness, and forgiveness. So those four principles really, they frame biblical counseling and they frame the way that we talk about godly communication. So we're just assuming when you communicate with your parents, when you communicate with your children who are dating, that these principles of godly communication are always happening. I'm truthful, I'm keeping current, I'm attacking the problem, not the person. I'm acting, not reacting. Always true. But that doesn't necessarily answer the question of how much information do we share? Bum, bum, bum. How deep do we go? It's like, Mom, he is a hunk of burning love. Woohoo! And your mom's like, no, stop, gross. Your mom probably doesn't want to know like how cute you think he is or the depths of cuteness. So you're thinking like, okay, what's the wise guardrails for the depth of how much information I share with my parents? And it can't be that I just say nothing about our relationship and they didn't even know I was dating someone. Like, that can't be it. And if I'm in my early 20s, I've just graduated from college and I've started dating someone, it's like it would almost be hurtful to my parents for them to learn 5 months in that I'm dating someone. My mid-30s, my parents are, that's probably happened already. Like, they didn't know. And so they're not as abreast of what's going on. So you're thinking like they should know something, but how much should they know? I would actually start with, so godly communication is framed by understanding roles. And the better you understand roles, the better of a communicator you will be. Remember the roles that we have, and almost all relationships can fit into these four categories. The first being that of a stranger. So we don't know each other. We just met. How you doing? Nice to meet you. Okay. And then that person continues with life. And I really have no meaningful contact with them. Stranger. Next would be an acquaintance, where we don't really choose to be at the same place, but we work together. We go to school together. We're at the gym together. And that acquaintance, we just say hello to. We greet them. We ask basic generic questions, but there's no depth to the relationship. Okay. After an acquaintance, you have a friend, someone that you share a worldview with. There's a like-mindedness. They honor and serve you. They invest in the relationship. And you do the same for them. You invest in the relationship with them. That friendship then can move toward the final step of relationships, which would be more like a best friend, where we have best friends, those that are super close to us. We are basically open about everything that's going on. We trust them. We have relational equity between us. And our best friends are those that have gone from an acquaintance to a friend to a best friend. And that takes time. It takes time to make it to that status in a relationship. It's like the platinum status of a credit card, you know, like you got to earn it. And that best friend status is really a beautiful thing. So your parents and your kids, where would we plot them? So as parents and children, like, we're on the acquaintance and maybe friend level. And when we're talking about friends, most of us would say, yeah, my children are kind of like a friend. I don't share the in-depth secrets of our marriage with my kids. I don't typically go to my kids for counsel. When you're thinking of your parents and you're in your early 20s, you're thinking, yeah, I consider them to be friends. I love them. I respect them. But yet there are things that I don't share with them. It would be hard for them to understand that or to speak objectively into that. So where are we? Some of us, especially if you're, think of like a young 19, 20, 21-year-old, it is totally possible to say like, I feel like I'm best friends with my dad, or I feel like I'm best friends with my mom. And I think that is possible. And it's easier when you're single, you're not dating anybody. It's like, yeah, totally, I get that. And as a parent, I think that's rewarding as well. If you can say that your child is kind of like a best friend to you, that's a really sweet opportunity. That begins to change when they're dating and when they get married, because you can't occupy that space anymore. You're having to rearrange. So most of us, I think we could say, is like we're kind of like good friends. We're hopefully like good friends. So when you're starting to date, this person is really moving from an acquaintance to a friend. And if things go well, then a best friend. And with my parents and my kids, we're kind of like good friends. Maybe not best friends. We're not totally sharing every detail, but we're good friends. So that's framing then. So then the question is, how much do you communicate with your parents about what's going on between your boyfriend and girlfriend? How much do you share and how much do you not share? So I'm going to kind of break that down into three seasons of dating. And let's talk about the early stages first. In the early stages, you're sharing almost everything. You know, if you're 16 to 26 and you just started dating this person, you're looking for insight, you're looking for wisdom, you're attempting to be submissive. I think it's a beautiful thing when guys ask dads if they can date their daughter. That's beautiful. What a great way to start a relationship. In the early stages, you're saying, this is where we're at, or I went on a date, and you're updating mom on how it went. Perfect. The only categories at this point that would be potentially off limits would be things that are hard for parents to objectively speak to. And as a parent, you should be thinking like, I don't know if I want to hear this from you. Example, purity issues. You're in the early dating season, you as a parent are not the best accountability partner. And you as a child are recognizing that you have to be wise about the way you communicate those things to your parents. Another example, conflict, that you are only going to share the category, but it's not super helpful if you tell dad, hey, he called me ugly the other day. And your dad's going to be like, what? And then as a dad, you're like, hey, I am not objective in this. So if you start to share conflict stories with me, that's really hard on me to understand. So that's the second example. I think a third example, and then I'll pause for a break, is that when the other person has confided in you personal sins, you're not relaying those to your parents. Your parents aren't aware of the personal sins that they've confided in you. So those are examples of potential issues that I'm not going to share. So let's take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to pick up with the middle season of dating and how communication changes there. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. I don't know if you caught that line about parents wanting updates and kids oversharing. Look, that one, I think, stings a little for both sides, doesn't it? Dr. Gifford's pulling back the curtain on something that's way bigger than dating. It's really about roles, knowing which ones God's actually called us to live out and which ones we just filled in because it felt comfortable or familiar. That's why I love how he framed it. The closer you understand your role, the clearer your communication is going to become. Because the problem's not that we talk too much or too little, it's that we talk out of place. That is wisdom that's going to outlast this conversation right there. That's going to change your life if you let that soak deep in your memory bank, I promise you. And listen, this is what you're going to keep finding right here on Transformed. Not quick fixes, but real biblical categories that help you make sense out of your life. It's also what Greg has been pouring into the next generation of biblical counselors at the Master's University, where he teaches. So if you've ever thought about stepping into counseling or ministry training of any kind, I want to speak very highly of the Master's University. You can check out all of the information right now at masters.edu/transformed. And while you're at it, don't miss what's happening on Fortis Plus. It's completely free. We tell you all the time. I think you've gotten that now. I think you understand. No subscriptions and no paywalls. It's loaded with hundreds of hours of content, and we're adding to that content every single day. It's not just static content that just sits there and says, hey, here's a library for you to listen to. No, it's a library that is growing and growing and growing every single day. And you can download Fortis Plus right now. Again, absolutely free wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can just simply go to fortisplus.org. And if anything that we are producing, Transformed, Way of Manhood, Thrive, The Better Way, Integrated, or any of our other resources on Fortis Plus has helped you in any way, would you consider standing with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Because our gospel partners are the ones who make it possible for everything we do at Fortis Institute to be given away for free. Fortis Institute runs on gospel partners. They are people just like you who see value in truth that can be freely available to everyone. If you're already faithfully giving to your local church, which is your number one giving priority, if you're doing that, we would love for you to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Find out what it would look like in your life right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. Now, this is Transformed.
Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks for your resources. Guys, Fortis is growing. It is becoming its own entity. Just keep your eye out, because by God's grace and Todd's leadership, Fortis is its own institute now, and our fellows are fired up. We're so excited to work together. So it's a blessing to get to be a part of what God is doing here. Just pray that we would be faithful and we would teach his word excellently. I think that's a word. Excellently. Excellent. Oh, yeah. Okay, so in the last segment, I finished with categories that might be hard for your parents to be objective to. Like in the early season, you may not share the exact details of purity issues or the details of a conflict, another person's private sins. Just think of I'm going to protect their integrity. And even though I could share information that's factual, I just don't want to exploit them or expose them to my parents. Even if we broke up, I still want to be respectful and get in the habit of not maligning character. Okay, now, so let's, these months are not magical, but they do help give you principles. So I'm 25 now. We've been dating for 3, 4, 5 months. And my boyfriend or girlfriend has just started to share time with our family. Like they've assimilated into my family. And if we both live in the same town or their family's around, then I go to their house. And we're building relationships with our parents. And that relationship is moving from acquaintance to friendship. In that time, it's we love them. We're talking about the Dodgers. We're talking about life. We're talking about jobs. We're talking about what's going on. Like we are building relationship in that way. But what's different now is that my parents are developing a friendship with my boyfriend and girlfriend. And that friendship is going to be limited because there are things that we still cannot talk about. My parents are not neutral, objective third parties. And as a parent listening to this, you are not the best counselor of your kid. And even if they're 26, you're not the best counselor. Like you are biased. So you're still saying those purity issues, conflict issues, private sin, though, like you're not the best person. In fact, you don't want to hear it to a certain degree. I don't want to know the exact details. And godly parents are going to kind of push back and say, honey, you really need to talk to someone else about this. This is not my lane, and it's hard for me to hear these things. Okay, so middle dating, 3 to 9 months, we're getting closer to the marriage. You know, I find around month 9 to the first year, that's whenever a couple starts to say, what are we? Like, what are we doing here? And if you've been dating for 3 months and you're talking about marriage, you know, you may need to slow down just a tad, maybe. But if you're dating for a year and you haven't talked about marriage, then most of us are going to say, like, what are you guys? Like, what are you doing? And if you're older, you're 27, you've been dating a year, and the other person's not willing to talk about marriage, then that does like raise some at least concerns and red flags. Like, hey, what are we doing here? Are we moving towards marriage? So think of the almost engaged season. In the almost engaged season, your girlfriend or boyfriend is part of the family, but there's still a depth that you're not sharing with your parents, and parents, you're not wanting to hear it. We don't want to know about the specifics and conflict. We don't want to know about personal sin struggles. At this season, we're almost pulling up in terms of the depth of communication. So in the early season, we shared everything. We talked about almost everything. But now we're pulling back. And why is that? Because what's happening at this season is this boyfriend or girlfriend is really becoming the best friend. And we as parents are starting to play number two to this boyfriend or girlfriend. And by God's grace, most of us as parents are saying, yes, we rejoice in that. They're awesome. They should be your best friend, not me. So you're pulling back and there's no hurt in that. Mom, you're not pushing for more details. It's like, honey, we never talk about your boyfriend anymore. You're, as a dad, listening and attentive, but yet you're not trying to push your way into the conversation because you recognize that you are being, your relationship is being redefined. And if they've been dating for 12 months and you know the marriage is just like the proposal's just around the corner, then you're starting to say like, I'm pulling back a little bit and I want to support the unity of their relationship. Boom. That's it. So like we're pulling back. So when you're engaged, we've now made it to that dad blessed off. He has asked for your hand in marriage. You have given it. Woohoo. Oh, so cute. Then what are we talking about then? There's no negatives. We're not going to share the details of our struggles. We're going to find a neutral third party to be our discipler here. And I would think a couple that's 5 years ahead of you in life would be a great influence in that season. Someone that's already married, someone that's worked through in-law issues. Mom and dad, you are encouraging your 21-year-old, 25-year-old, 27-year-old, you're encouraging them to find someone, and you are reminding them that you are their parent. I'm your mom or I'm your dad, and I'm not your counselor. I can't be your counselor. And as a parent, you have to know your role there. You're just mom and you're just dad. You're not best friend anymore. You now are supporting this relationship. They're engaged to each other. So pull back or pull up a little bit and don't push for and don't pry. I think it can be very confusing because it's like, well, am I hiding something? Parents can try to wedge their way into conversations that are really inappropriate. And I think if you're being humble as a parent and you've blessed off on this man asking your daughter to marry him, then you have to say, look, I gave him my blessing. I trust them and I want them to work through this. So maybe I will connect you to your pastor or help you find a couple at church. But I'm your mom and I'm your dad, and you guys need to work through that stuff personally. The only time where I would say this may change, so this is in most cases, this is the way that it'll look. So in some cases, there are safety issues that come up. Think of like domestic violence and abuse. But in those cases, you didn't bless off on the proposal. In those cases, you didn't bless off on the dating originally. So a lot of those are rogue datings anyways. And you don't find out about it until things have gotten really gnarly and complicated. But by and large, that is the exception, not the norm. So here are some things to be concerned about. As you're dating, I want you to keep an eye on this. If you're dating a guy or a girl who wants to isolate you from your parents, that's a huge red flag. And that is indicative of them being controlling. And I see it on guys where guys actually start to address the dad and come in between the girl and the dad. Like and as the boyfriend, he is the head of the relationship. Ladies, if that's happening in your relationship, that should terrify you. Just imagine what's going to happen if you marry him. He is going to be a controlling husband. When it comes to ladies doing that, if she is saying, I don't like you hanging out with your parents, I don't like being around your parents, if she's trying to isolate you from your parents, then you're saying, not today, sister. These are my parents and I love them and they're going to be a part of our life. It doesn't mean we're going to be best friends, but it does mean that we are going to be friendly toward each other. So that's a red flag. Isolation from your parents. This person is potentially controlling. Next concern, if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend or fiance that goes to your parents without asking you first, be mindful that that is potentially them being manipulative. So if you're dating a guy and he calls up your dad and says, hey, Bob, we got in a fight. And your dad's like, oh man, tell me about it. Then what is potentially happening there is that your fiance is maybe out of an initially good heart, but they're oversharing information that you did not want them to share. You did not bless off on them talking to your parents about that. That can actually be low-key manipulation, and it's at a minimum disrespectful. So you let me tell my parents, you don't go to my parents directly. So you keep that expectation clear. And if that happens too much, I actually think that person's trying to manipulate you and leverage your parents against you. Number three, principles to be concerned about. My parents want to get into the weeds, or parents, you want to get too far down into the weeds. And in the early months, yeah, you have that rightful expectation. He should ask me to date you, totally. But when they're getting closer to engagement, you're pulling back and saying, you know, I can't know this stuff. I'm not objective. You need to make these decisions on your own. So if you have a parent that's wedging their way in, or you as a parent are kind of nestling your way in, and this couple's almost engaged, then I really don't think you understand your role. And that's going to sabotage all good communication between you and your dating adult child. So last principle that I'll give you, who's the one to share the information with your parents? The child is the one to share the information. You as the child are the spokesperson to your family. So I would never want to call my in-laws and say, here is what's happening. I speak on behalf of my household. Rather, I would want my fiance or my wife or my girlfriend to be the one to speak to her parents, and I'm going to be the one to speak to my parents. The reason why is because we're trying to keep lines of communication clear. And if I'm going to my girlfriend's parents and I'm sharing with them without her blessing, remember, that's a problem. So don't short circuit this. If you have a fiance that wants to be the head and he wants to talk to your dad, I think you say, thanks, babe, but no thanks. I'll be the one to talk to my dad myself. So back off. No, don't say the last part. So you always have an obligation to honor your parents, but you don't have an obligation to share every detail with them, especially as we're getting into those latter seasons of dating. Godly parents, I am convinced, don't want to know every detail anyway. They're not prying, and many godly parents know their role, and they're going to say something like, we support you. We want you guys to do well. You know, let us know how we can help, but we cannot be your counselors. So let me pray for us. And if you have questions on this topic, please write in at greg@transformed.org. Let me pray. Lord, this is confusing because we want to honor our parents. And yet for some of us, we don't know if that means sharing every detail or if holding back information is dishonoring to them. I pray for the parents listening to this episode that they would be able to wisely remove themselves, recognize their own limitations and lack of objectivity. Lord, may this understanding roles and communication and dating actually bring in daughters-in-law and sons-in-law into the family that are just beautiful relationships, relationships that display the glory of Christ and the beauty of the gospel. So we ask that you would do this work in our relationships, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.